The Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to The Leadership File, bringing you conversations with leaders and experts on leadership themes. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and whether you're listening live or via the podcast, it's great to have you along. We all inhabit what is known as the digital age and know the joys and challenges that it brings. This involves all ages, but especially younger people. Research by Bible Society found that some 96% of people aged 18 to 35 own an electronic device and use social media at least weekly. But what are the implications of the range of new technologies on our theology? What are the changes in culture which might enhance and might challenge the communication of the Christian gospel and the discipleship of people into the ways of Jesus? Well, thankfully, some bright people have this on their radar. And I'm delighted to be joined by Jonas Kjellberg, the Programme Manager of the MA in Digital Theology at Durham University in the northeast of the UK. Jonas has a Master of Theology from London School of Theology and a Master of Science in Sociology from the London School of Economics. He was also a lecturer and MA course leader in the Colombo Theological Seminary in Sri Lanka. He arrived at Durham following a postdoctoral research assistant at the Centre for Theology and Public Issues at the University of Edinburgh, where he began research on aspects of Christianity and the internet. He's also worked as a research associate on an innovative project on religion and social media in Russia for the Centre on Religion and Global Affairs. And it's worth adding that this was recorded before the COVID-19 lockdown. Welcome, Jonas, to The Leadership File. Great to have you along.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So tell us a little of your journey to being interested in digital theology.
Yeah, so I guess from my background, you can tell that I've done quite a variety of things within academia. But my interest has always been faith and society. And ultimately, my personal motivation has always been the question of how do we live faithfully in the here and now? How do we faithfully follow Christ? And during a postdoc I had in Edinburgh, I had the opportunity to co-write some articles around Christianity and the internet. And at the same time, I was involved with this major project that you mentioned on religion and social media in Russia. And so that got me thinking about these issues around faith and digitality. And at the same time, this job came up in Durham to manage the MA in digital theology. And since I'd had experiences of running a master's program in Sri Lanka previously, that seemed to be a good fit.
Fabulous. And where did you grow up and come to faith?
Yeah, so I was born in Sweden, but my parents were missionaries in Nepal. So I spent 6 years of my childhood there. And so obviously faith was a given at home. And I think that it's fair to say that the fact that my parents took active decisions based on their faith meant that faith was something real, and that had real implications. And I think that's one of the lasting impacts on my own faith journey. So I would describe myself as, you know, being brought up in the church and in the faith. It's been more of a journey rather than a decisive moment. Sure. Of decision making.
Yeah, indeed. I can imagine lots of people can identify with that story. And we've talked about this word digital theology. And when I first heard the word, I thought, oh, you know, it was the first time I'd heard that. That was in just a few weeks ago. And I suspect many of our listeners won't have heard those two words put together. So how are you defining digital theology, Jonas?
So I'm afraid I don't really have a Twitter-friendly soundbite.
No.
I'm still working on that.
Okay.
But I would say that it covers broadly three aspects. And the first one is translation. And that is making sense of faith in new emerging digital culture. And so it's a kind of a missiological task of thinking about how do we make faith comprehensible when culture around us is changing? How do we then speak about faith in this condition? And often in that kind of interaction with a new culture, it highlights certain aspects of your own faith. It forces you to rethink your own faith as well. So that's the one aspect of it. A second is reflecting on the effect of digital mediation, and I'll explain what I mean by that. So there's a widely held recognition that the medium by which we communicate does something to us, and how we communicate does affect what we communicate. So that means that we want to reflect on how faith and practice changes when it's mediated through digital technology.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't particularly think that tech is either good or evil, but it's not neutral, and it sure does things to us. And so digital theology seeks to reflect on the implications and how we should think about that. So just one example would be, you know, what happens when we start reading the Bible digitally? Does that change the way we interpret Scripture? Does that change our personal relationship with the Bible? Does that change the way we understand the authority of Scripture? And I would argue that they do in various ways. And then thirdly, a third aspect of digital theology is what I call the prophetic. And that's thinking about what is a Christian voice in the societal conversations about social media, artificial intelligence, smart technology, data privacy, and so forth.
Sure.
So those kind of roughly, those aspects kind of roughly includes what I think about when we talk about digital theology.
Okay, thank you. And was there a kind of point at which Christians suddenly thought, hey, yes, we really do need to think about the theological implications now? I mean, what are the kind of trends in culture that have given rise to the need of this?
So there has within academia been quite a long interest in religion and how they use digital technology, but that has been more from a social scientific point of view, so describing what's happening, and that's been going on for decades. I think that comes out from the recognition that actually religious communities and actors are actively using digital technology, so that's kind of spurred an interest. But if you think about how much the digital has changed our society in a very period of time, you know, there's not a single sphere of life that I can think of that's been left untouched. And so it changed our culture, how we communicate, our daily habits, we think, what we value, how we vote, and how we come to understand what it means to be human. And an extension of this is that it does influence faith. And if you look at theological reflection in history, it's typically been in response to historical events and shifts. And it's church and encounters with these historical events that had led to theological reflection. So just thinking about the creeds in the early church is a response to issues around the nature of Jesus and possible heresies. And so there was a need to respond to that and therefore articulate faith. And if you think about the Reformation, again, there's a need for a new theology to emerge, or theological reflection because of the historical situation they found themselves in. Or more recently, in the Enlightenment, there's challenges to faith that required response and so forth. So theology always responds to the particular situations that we find ourselves in. And I think maybe over the last 10 years or so, there have been a growing number of theologians in particular that are starting to think about, well, not only how do we use this stuff, but what happens when we use it, and what are the implications for faith?
Sure. Okay. And I mean, you have a particular interest in the what all this does to religious authority, how it might change with the internet. I guess, you know, increasingly people, in terms of their information and understanding, you know, not exactly sure where to go sometimes. You know, Google is a help, but but all sorts of people are publishing stuff at all sorts of times, and sometimes with very little background. So talk to us about the challenge to religious, or the question of religious authority, and how it might change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess the wide held view is that digital does challenge traditional religious authority. And it does that. You've already alluded to that. It does so because now anyone can publish their views online. And therefore, you know, the fact that you have a title of priest or theologian does not necessarily mean that you had the same level of authority you used to have, where people would only come to their priest and ask their theological questions. They now first probably search online, as you say, Google questions that they might have, or they might ask their friends on Facebook or on Twitter about certain theological quandaries that they have. And that in turn then means that that flattens the kind of the more hierarchical structures of religious tradition, religious authority. And then the fact is that now anyone can set up their church online as well. And it does seem to pose a challenge to some of the more traditional church authority.
Sure. Well, we'll explore that a bit later, but you're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Jonas Kjellberg, and we're looking at digital theology. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Jonas Kjellberg. Jonas is the program manager of the MA in Digital Theology at Durham University. We're talking about that topic and trying to get our heads around some of the massive changes that have taken place in society and what implications that has for our theology, for understanding of God and faith and people coming to faith and discipleship. So, Jonas, the classic Christian mission has been print and book-based. Already missions are becoming aware that they need a digital component. Jesus said, go into all the world. But does going via the internet really count? So what are the kind of positives and negatives of digital mission from a missional perspective?
Well, funnily enough, we had a seminar on our MA program yesterday discussing exactly this topic.
All right, okay, yes.
So I will relay some of that discussion that went on
yeah, please do.
Then to you. So I think, you know, the obvious positive is just the reachability. You know, you can reach, in theory at least, you can reach the entire world from just sitting at home, and you can engage with people from across the world. You can cross borders. There are some limitations, but you, in theory, you can cross borders that you don't have to travel to physically. In some ways, a bit like radio broadcasting or TV broadcasting, but the possibility is there, it's greater to target audience, so you can be more specific about the kind of people that you want to engage with, and you can use the ads through Facebook to target specific people with specific messages and specific cultures. But also, I think actually we're discussing how the fact that the internet allows for a level of anonymity, it can be also helpful in the sense that people can now search on their own terms. They can search out faith, and so people might have a curiosity about Christian faith, but the threshold to go and speak to a church somewhere or a Christian somewhere is higher than doing a search online.
Sure.
And that kind of means that faith can be sought out on people's own terms to some extent. I also think that there's an advantage in that there is a much greater focus on story on social media in particular. So there's a great opportunity for Christians to just share from their everyday life and just show what it means to be Christian. By just sharing from testimonies, even I think struggles and positives from their life, and that gives an authenticity to faith. But also, it's that kind of the interactive nature of social media that is fantastic. That you know, you can spread ideas, but you can also have conversations with people straight away. And I think that's kind of why, in the sense why alpha courses have worked so well in around the world, is that it allows people to talk together about things. And in some ways, social media allows that as well.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Carry on.
So thinking a little bit about more maybe some of the limitations or potential pitfalls, we have all encountered people online that we maybe find disrespectful. And I think there can be Christians like that as well, that probably may be overzealous in their attempts to convert people. And sometimes bad behavior it's accentuated online, because it seems like the screen makes us think that we can say things online that we would not say to people face to face.
Yeah, indeed.
So, it's for Christians to really think about, how do you avoid behaving in ways that you wouldn't behave like offline as well. So, how do you treat people with respect, even in your attempts to spread the gospel and talk about Christ? There are also organizations and mission agencies that are now developing bots and chatbots, which means that the machines are used to spread the gospel. And there are some questions about that. Does that then mitigate our individual responsibility? Does that take the human out of evangelism if we're just setting up machines that are best spreading the Christian gospel? Would be, because it's kind of a question that we just right now, I know that a lot of people are asking, what do we do with this technology that has the potential to reach a lot of people very efficiently, very fast, but, are there downsides to that? I guess a final, more like a question that we need to be aware of is there's, especially when it comes to Christian organizations that use digital tools for evangelism, there is a tendency to adopt markets and corporate logics and ways of doing things and speak about things. And I think we've just got to be a little bit careful there, that there can be a risk that we end up thinking in terms of marketing rather than producing disciples, or in the market speak, I think marketing speak, there is a risk that we then tend to objectify people. They become objects or numbers to meet our targets for our churches and organizations. So objects rather than humans. I mean, that's just one of the potential risks.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, so McGavran's homogenous unit principle from the past, where you kind of focus your mission around a segmented group of people, which obviously pre-internet was physical people. And now you could actually bring that much more narrow, given your capacity to target particular groups. And as you say, that can be a little bit mechanistic and robotic almost.
Yeah, and I think we just got to be aware that how would you feel about other religious communities using techniques such as these to convert us? I'd feel a bit uncomfortable knowing that there are these people who are sitting there behind their laptops trying to convert me. And deliberately, or even manipulate me. So it's just being careful of how we go about that, and how we go about that in a way that we actually, are loving in the way we communicate the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Apostle Paul talked about, we've renounced deceitful and shameful ways. Whether other people need to decide whether some of these are deceitful and shameful. But yeah, that's the kind of issues that you're having to raise. Jonas, your website says that the basic premise of digital theology is that this emerging digital culture is a new condition in which the church finds itself. This demands fresh theological conversations and new approaches. You've been going for a few years. So what are the kind of theological conversations that you think need to be had in this whole field?
Well, I've already suggested that theology has always been articulated by people of faith in response to historical events and cultural condition under certain cultural conditions. And also, in some ways, like this digital disruption is so radical that it forces us to reassess our own faith and our age-old practices. And so it's almost like it's an opportunity for us to look ourselves in the mirror again. We're having to reassess again, what does it mean to be church? What's important, what isn't? What does it mean to be human? What does the Bible say about that? Really, what does the Bible say about that? What does digital culture bring to light? Are there certain aspects that digital culture bring to light in our own faith that we might not have been seeing under different cultural condition where we'd had different cultural lenses? And then, you know, there are questions about, you know, how are we going to engage with this? You know, what technology are we going to endorse? What are we going to reject? What are some of the ways in which technology might compromise our faithfulness to Christ or the love of our neighbor? Does it enhance worship, or does it distract us? You know, so these are some of the questions that I think we need to ask ourselves, and that we're continuously asking ourselves. The digital revolution is just so vast that the questions are so many. But essentially, we've got to think through, okay, how do we navigate throughout all of this? What are the pros and cons? What do we gain and what do we lose?
You're starting to get people who are, you know, doing master's dissertations and maybe PhDs, etc., on these kind of themes. Are you able to share some of the things that they've been grappling with?
Sure. So we have a number of students who are interested in online evangelism and missions. We have people who are interested in online sacraments. You know, can we celebrate the Eucharist online? What's the theology around that? Now, I suppose how you answer that already depends on what church tradition you come from and their particular view of the sacraments. There are people asking questions about transhumanism. So what happens with our view of what it means to be human in the light of technology that might in the future mean that we could potentially upload our minds on supercomputers? Some have asked questions about online churches. You know, what are the valid forms of church? Others are exploring Bible apps. What does it do to us? Are some of the technology and persuasive technology that's been used in the apps, do they actually help us engage with the scripture, or do they actually just make us dependent on the technology itself? These are on top of my head some of the questions that are being explored.
So, Yanis, when it comes to Christian leadership, what would you say might be the key areas that Christian leaders need to think through?
Well, I suppose to begin with, you've got to think about, what does leadership look like in a digital culture? Is it changing? And what are the implications? I would say that it is changing. Leadership will need to change. And that has partly to do with the early conversation that we had around religious authority. And I think that we're moving into an age where, and sometimes it's hard to distinguish between what's kind of more general cultural trends and what's digital culture and what's the causation here. But I certainly think within digital culture, leadership is more based on charismatic leadership rather than on titles or hierarchy. Right? So if you want to have a voice in digital culture, you know, it would be the people who are able to motivate people, capture their imagination, and show leadership. So, and I think I think some other key elements to that is that there's such a high value on authenticity in digital culture. So I guess the idea that you need to be true to who you are, whatever that means. On a Christian level, we can talk about that in terms of, well, your faith needs to be seen in your action, right? So, and that gives a level of accountability, I think. You know, gone are times where you can probably hide certain abuses within the church structures. It will now come up through social media, and I think that's probably a good thing. So leadership becomes more about kind of who you are as a person, and it kind of highlights you rather than the title that you bear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is Andy Peck. Thanking you for joining us. A reminder again that that broadcast was recorded before the COVID-19 lockdown, hence no reference particularly to that within the context of digital theology. So it's been great to have you along this week. A verse of scripture as we close from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, where the Apostle Paul says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." May that be your experience as you influence people for God, wherever God has placed you. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.